Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And we're going to go ahead and get started because we're going over three chapters.
Laura? Yes. Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. Lord Jesus, let everything we say be good and helpful so that our words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so we did an intro in Isaiah 1 in the last one, in our last podcast, and so I'm going to continue with Isaiah 2. So here, the chapter starts off, it's the description of the Messiah reign. So when Jesus come and he's reigning over Israel. The vision that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the last days. So this is during the millennium. Okay, so the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains and will be raised above the hills. All nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So this is during the Messiah reign, and Israel will be the leading nation, and it will be above all the smaller nations.
And you know, I don't think I ever got that until
me
now.
Either.
And I read this and I read the notes, but why didn't it stand out to me? I didn't know.
I didn't know that it was describing that time.
Wow. Okay.
So then we start learning. Let me finish this chapter. Come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. So as the people acknowledge Jesus and submit themselves, they will be drawn to go to the mountain of the Lord, to go to Israel. And we kind of see that now. You know, we see a lot of people going and visiting the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. And we see that that it's growing, that it's now more people trying to go there. So he will teach us about his ways so that we may walk in his paths. And remember in Isaiah 1, he tells us, learn my ways. For instruction mm-hmm. will go out of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up the sword against nation, and they will never again train for war. So during this time, there will still be disputes, but there won't be war. So there won't need any need. Yeah, there won't be any need for weapons. Their swords will be turned into plows and spears into pruning knives. So it won't be Jesus will be the arbitrator between the nations. So, and then the next verse is a description of where the people are spiritually during this time. So it starts with house of Jacob, which is Judah. Come and let's walk in the Lord's light, for you have abandoned your people. So here he's inviting the people to, you know, I hear this and I think of our journey when it began, when he says, come, let's walk in the Lord's light, because here's where he's bringing there's where they are now spiritually to
so
light.
Is this still the vision of Jesus's reign? Isaiah just telling us, okay, so this is still Jesus.
This is still the vision. It's still the vision as Isaiah is seeing. So this is what the vision is. So, and he tells the people, let's walk in the Lord's light, for you have abandoned your people. So he's telling the people, let me show you in the light what's really going on here, you know,
right.
Because remember the Israelis, they thought that they were safe because they were Jews and because they lived in Israel, that they were going to be safe, that they didn't have to worry about, judgment.
Anything. Yeah.
And they were going to the temple. They were doing the sacrifices. They were doing all those things. Remember in Isaiah 1, he says, you bring me all this stuff, but your heart's in the wrong place. Remember?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So then he starts telling them, house of Jacob, because he says they are full of divination from the east and of fortune tellers like the Philistines. Mm-hmm. Philistines. They are in league with foreigners. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there is no limit to their treasures. Their land is full of horses, and there's no limit to their chariots. Their land is full of worthless idols. They worship the work of their hands, what their fingers have made. So here he's telling them, you're with these you're intermingling with the foreigners, and now they're leading you to worshiping the false gods. And you know, they're depending on the work of their hands. You know, they're building all these statues and worshiping them. You know, they're depending on their silver and gold, so in material stuff and wealth. And their security is in their chariots. So they think they're good. They think they're okay.
Right.
Right. So he tells them, so humanity is brought low and each person is humbled. Do not forgive them. He's saying do not forgive them because they're not only worshiping these gods, they're being loyal to these gods. So they're being humbled and loyal to the wrong God. So they're doing right. it with, you know, like we say, follow God with all your heart. Well, they're following these idols with all their hearts, you know? And so they're rejecting the Lord. And that's what God is saying is unforgivable, because you're doing this, you're rejecting the Lord, and it's unforgivable. And then so now we're going to see how, judgment.
Okay.
Go into the rocks, how it's going to be when he starts judging. Go into the rocks and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from his majestic splendor. The pride of mankind will be humbled and human loftiness will be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted on that day. For a day belonging to the Lord of armies is coming against all that is proud and lofty. Against all that is lifted up, it will be humbled. Against all the cedars of Lebanon, lofty and lifted up. Against all the oaks of Bashan. Against all the high mountains. And he goes on, the lofty hills, the every high tower, every fortified wall. And he's now talking about the leaders, all those people that are supposed to be leading the people to God, but they're not. He's talking about them. All you that hold yourself way up here, mm-hmm. judgment is coming. The Lord alone will be exalted on that day. The worthless idols will vanish completely. People will go into caves in the rocks and holes in the ground, away from the terror of the Lord and from his majestic splendor, when he rises to terrify the earth. So when judgment comes, they're going to be so terrified that they're going to want to run and hide. That's what it's right. going to be. It's going to be complete terror. And even the leaders, if the leaders think that it doesn't include them, they're wrong. It's going to include them. This includes everybody. On that day, people will throw their worthless idols of silver and gold, which they made to worship, to the moles and the bats. They will go into the caves of the rocks and the crevices in the cliffs, away from the terror of the Lord. So none of these things that they were idolizing is going to help them. It's not going to save them.
No.
Put no more trust in mere human who has only the breath in his nostrils. What is he really worth? And because, you know, they're putting their all their security is in people and in things, you know, it's not right. in God. And so
right.
He's saying you're putting your security in a man. Not even there's not going to be any man or woman that's going to be able to save you from this.
And isn't that what we did before? We would go to our moms. We would go to our friends. We go to our yep. brothers or sisters, you know, or cousins, yep. just whoever you were. And I think the gospel talks about if we lead them away from God, like it's even worse punishment for us, I think.
The leaders, path
and we're not trying to guide them where they need to go. Like these leaders are going to get more punished than I think it's going to be worse on them. Knowing right. where to guide them and they're taking them the opposite direction.
And this includes parents too. If you're not leading your children into, right, you know, towards God, then you're leading them away from God. So,
right,
that includes them too. And you're not going to be able to turn, you know, he's naming all these, the leaders, because you're not going to be able to turn to your, right, president, your government. There's not going to be anything or anybody that's going to be able to save you from the judgment of God.
No.
So Isaiah 3, Judah's leaders judged. Note this, the Lord God of armies is about to remove from Jerusalem and from Judah every kind of security, the entire supply of bread and water, heroes and warriors, judges and prophets, fortune tellers and elders, commanders of 50 and dignitaries, counselors, cunning magicians and necromancers. So that tells you right there, there's not going to be, you're not going to be able to go to any judges, any prophets, any heroes, warriors, nothing. You know, he's removing all everything, of that, and the entire supply of bread and water. And you know, and we saw how scary that can be, because during the pandemic, when there were shortages, right, of everything, you know, and it happened all over the world. It wasn't just here and then we could get help from somewhere else. No, everybody, right, was hurting.
Right.
And two, I want to note that how that starts off, the Lord God of armies, because remember we talked about that last time. It's not a little old man sitting on the porch. It's, we're talking, mm-hmm, about the warrior of all warriors that's coming to judge, you know, he has an army, an unbeatable army. So he's not, you're not talking about some little guy being angry. No.
And you know what I noticed when I was reading earlier today on like chapter 2, verse 12, it says the Lord of armies, but on 3, it's like the Lord God of armies. So sometimes they have the both, like they add God to it and then they don't. So could one be, we're talking Jesus.
Jesus, and then the other, then we're talking God. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Because I did read that somewhere and I hadn't caught where it was saying it different, but that was the explanation for it.
Because when you mentioned it last week, it brought to mind, I said, I'm going to put a square on every, the Lord God of armies. But then I said, well, wait, because this one says Lord of armies. So we're speaking Jesus and then the Father.
Then, too. And then the Father. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. I will make use their leaders and unstable rulers will govern them. The people will oppress one another, man against man, neighbor against neighbor. The young will act arrogantly toward the old and the worthless towards the honorable. A man will even seize his brother in his father's house saying, you have a cloak, you be our leader. So it's going to be complete chaos. It's going to be complete chaos. And they're going to, the leaders that are going to be put in charge will be young, inexperienced, you know, not... I wrote down young and dumb because they're not, you know, because they're going to be incompetent. Well, yeah, that too. But you see, we see that happening now, you know, because you see how you see they're getting younger, you know, the government, these people that they're being elected, you know, with no experience and they're being elected. So we kind of see that a lot of this I was reading, it's not new because we see it, you know, and we've even experienced some of that. So it's going to be complete chaos and they're going to be so desperate for leadership that they're going to be telling just anyone, hey, you be our leader. But things are going to be so bad that even that person's not going to want to lead, to where before they would have jumped at it to be the leader of all these people. They're not even, things are going to be so bad that even they're going to say,
that's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to lead, no, you know.
Right.
Because on that day, he will cry out saying, I'm not a healer. I don't even have food or clothing in my house. Don't make me the leader of the people, because they're going to know there's no hope, you know, like things are going to be so bad. So because they have spoken and acted against the Lord, defying his glorious presence. And you know, I underline spoken because sometimes we think that our words don't carry any weight. But I'm going to reference the Matthew 12, verse 36. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Because if your lips aren't for worshiping the Lord, then you're rejecting him, you know. And he's saying here, because they have spoken and acted against the Lord, defying his glory of presence, because they're giving the glory to all these other things, you know, they're not worshiping the Lord. The look on their face, on their faces testifies against them. And like Saddam, they flaunt their sin. They do not conceal it. So they're walking around, you know, they were doing it with no shame. And we talked about that too in Isaiah 1, you know, how he said they were being like Saddam and Gomorrah, like doing that, not even trying to hide it anymore. You know, they were out there with no shame. And then he says, woe to them, for they have brought disaster on themselves. And I think that's a big, an important verse there, because this is brought on by them, by their own actions and their choices. It wasn't God who brought this onto them. They brought it on themselves. And, you know, people always say, why did God do this to me? It wasn't God that did it to you. You know, those were choices that we made.
We made. Right. Right.
So we chose our own path, you know. So tell the righteous that it will go well for them, for they will eat the fruit of their labor. Those are the only, like, if you, it's so easy to miss those two lines, you know, because, and keep moving, because then he goes on to, woe to the wicked, it will go badly for them. But in verse 10, he's saying, tell the righteous that it will go well for them, for they will eat the fruit of their labor. So if you've been trying to, you know, to walk that line, and you've come to God, you've repented, you know, and you're
doing right.
You're in a relationship with Jesus. Then if you've been saved, then it will go well for you. Even with all this chaos going on, with all this terror,
it
will go well for you, and you will eat the fruit of your labor. And I'm like, wow, like isn't that where we want to be? Because there's already chaos. The chaos has begun already. And here he's telling us that if you learn my ways, if you're obedient, if you follow my statutes, it will go well for you. This is, I'm not talking about you, you know, like it will go well for you.
Right.
So woe to the wicked, it will go badly for them, for what they have done will be done to them. Youths oppress my people, and women rule over them. We see that already, you know, we see where the youth don't have any respect anymore, you know, and they're all how bad things are going, and women will rule over them. And this is in here as a curse, not a blessing. Not that, you know, hey, women are going to get to rule and lead and all that. No, it's in, and the women ruling over them will be a curse.
Wow.
You know, my people, your leaders mislead you. They confuse the direction of your path. And we see that too. You know, look at all the confusion that's out there now, you know, because who are the, you know, we see that the leaders are, you know, all the things that we're arguing about now in our government, you know, about the gay marriages. We see it about abortion. We see it about, you know, the women's rights and all that, everything. Mm-hmm. And so, and we see how we're so divided on what's right and what's wrong.
Right.
So we see that happening already.
Right. And you know, and I saw this thing on TikTok, and it talked about, this girl was talking about how, you know, you hear so many people say, oh, thank God for this, thank God for that. But how this society is, she was like, how do we know it's the same God? You know what I mean? So we have to be careful.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially with all these idols, as you said, all these idols, some people think, oh, this is God. You know, this is my God. But it's like, no, we have our Heavenly Father. Jesus is our King. You know, that's our God.
Yep.
So we have to be careful too when people are like this, this, and that, you know?
Exactly. What are they talking about?
Yeah.
Because it's not always, like, you're right, it's not always the same God. And, you know, it says that when we think that people, because it says, for what they have done, it will be done to them. And, you know, we think that a lot of appearance appearances that they, it, you know, sometimes, and time goes by and we think, you know, we doubt, like, are they really going to get punished for this? You know, are they, or when, you know, like they, cause they keep getting away with it and getting away with it and getting away with it. But Spurgeon had a really good quote, which I'm not going to say word by word, cause I don't remember all of it, but it said, the eyes that never weep for sin here will weep in awful anguish forever. It's better to repent now and feel the wrath of God heavy, for if not, it will crush thee. You wow. know, and that is so true. Yes.
So true. Yeah.
So the Lord rises to argue the case and stands to judge the people. The Lord brings this charge against the elders and leaders of his people. So now, you know, we said in Isaiah once how we were, how God was coming to judge his people. And that, you know, he was setting the backdrop for the vision. And, you know, and again, here he comes, he stands as judge for the people and he brings his charge. So he's also the prosecutor, you know, and mm-hmm. we're guilty. We're guilty for the right. the things that are happening. So it's not. It's not pretend anymore, because if you read these verses, it's what's happening now.
Right.
You have devastated the vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your house. Why do you crush my people and grind the faces of the poor? There he's calling out the leaders because they're stealing from the poor. Not only are they oppressing the poor, but they're stealing from the poor. And then it jumps to Jerusalem's women judged, verse 16. The Lord also says, and this is something that we don't really talk about. At least I don't remember ever it being talked about. The women judged, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and not haughty, cute, haughty, arrogant, you know, blatantly proud with the proud heart.
Yeah.
Walking with heads held high and seductive eyes, prancing along, you know, like promiscuous, jingling mm-hmm. their ankle bracelets. The Lord will put scabs on the heads of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will shave their foreheads bare. On that day, the Lord will strip their finery, ankle bracelets, headbands, crescents, pendants, bracelets, bells, headdresses, ankle jewelry, sashes, perfume bottles, amulets, signet rings, nose rings, festive robes, capes, cloaks, purses, garments, linen clothes, turbans, and shawls. So, you know, we see this now. If we think that it's new, that the women are, you know, that it's more about what you look like and, you right. know, the hair, the nails, the jewelry, the name brands and all that. I mean, we see that all the time in social media, right? Instagram, all right. the selfies and all that yeah. stuff. Well, that's been going on since way back then. The women loved right. jewelry. They loved dressing up. They used it to lure men, to draw them in into sexual immorality, you know? Right. They were obsessed yeah. with luxury and accessories, and appearance and image even then. And so here, you know, God's calling out these women. And because this is the complete opposite of what Proverbs 31 says, you know, right. what godly women are. And I'm going to read Peter real quick. In 1 Peter verse 3, it says, the women of God are commanded, do not let your adornments be merely outward, arranging of your hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the uncorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So you see what a godly woman is, and then what a haughty woman
wayward.
Is. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is the wayward, right? The wayward yeah. woman. Yeah.
Yep. And so then the Lord says that on that day, he will strip them of their finery. And instead of perfume, there will be a stench. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of beautifully styled hair, baldness, you know, disease and sickness. Instead of fine clothes, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. Your men will fall by the sword, your warriors in battle. Then her gates will lament and mourn, deserted. She will sit on the ground. So they wanted these things to get the men. It made them more attractive for the men, but instead they would lose the men. They would lose the men. And so then in Isaiah 4, he continues and he tells them how. He tells us that how on that day, seven women will seize one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and provide our own clothing. Just let us bear your name. So the women are going to get so desperate because there's not going to be that many men because they're going to die to the sword. So they're going to be desperate for men that they're not even going to expect the men to do anything for them. They're going to be so desperate for these men that they're telling the men they're willing to provide their own food and their own clothing just to take their name to take away their disgrace. So they just want to paint that pretty picture of a family.
Right. Right.
And that's enough for them, you know?
And we see that too.
Well, we totally see that, you know, and men need to be real careful with these women because these are the women that try and trap you. They have nothing to lose. So they're the women that come to trap you.
No, you know, definitely. So, I don't know which book it's in, unless it's Songs of Song. I think in the notes, even Tony talks about, you know, be careful, men out there, you know, because
most people
want to get a woman for their looks, but sometimes their outer looks might be one way, but their inner looks are total opposite. Right.
Yeah, so and if you have a godly woman at home, you know, that's raising godly children to help, that's helping you raise godly children, right. Then you need to be very careful with these women because they'll pull you away from that. You know, they'll pull you away from that. And it's not, these women are not the kind of women that you can go and visit and then you're done. These are the type of women that latch onto you and then you're not able to
escape that.
Escape claw. That. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and these are, you know, women that are so desperate that they're choosing unwisely, you know, they're marrying for anything. So it's never good to get to that point where you're that desperate that you would marry just anyone.
Yeah.
So then Zion's future glory. So, and now we talk about what God, you know, pictures for Zion. On that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of Israel's survivors. Whoever remains in Zion and whoever is left in Jerusalem will be called holy. So when it says will be called holy, it's not any like spiritual superpower. It's it's the people who have been saved, who have been cleansed, you know. And if you consider yourself to be saved and you've been through that sanctifying, that cleansing, you know, then you're not wanting to return to your sin, you know, because and those are the people that he's talking about, that these are they will be called holy, and they're the ones that are going to be in the new Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and written in the book of life. For when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the blood guilt from the heart of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and a spirit of burning. So it won't, you know, the cleansing process is not easy. It's not because when I read this, I was like, there was some, it did get pretty hot. By the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. So it's not an easy process, but again, he's giving them the opportunity to go through the process. You know, like if you want to be called holy, if you want to be in the New Jerusalem, then he's giving them the opportunity to walk that 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 path and to be cleansed. Right.
But you need to have that relationship. You know, again, it's so important to stress how everybody can know him, but he don't know you. He don't know everybody, you know, unless you build that relationship with Jesus, you know. And again, the gospel says Jesus is the gate. He is the only way in, not anybody or anything. You know, we must go to him to be reborn, to be saved. And we can go straight to God through Jesus Christ.
Right. And to make that transition easier, you know, because we're all going to get judged. We're all going to get judged. And we've said over and over, do you want it to be
here and now,
or here and now, you being humble, or do you want it to be in anguish at the end of time? Because I was going to say how, you know, he's inviting you. Let's walk, you know, let's walk through this light. Are you willing to accept that invitation to take a look at all those things that you thought were hidden or that were forgotten? And God doesn't miss anything. There's nothing that you can hide from him, because you will be judged on every single thing, you know, like we said, even on the words that you said. So chapter 4 ends with, then the Lord will create a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night over the entire site of Mount Zion and over its assemblies. For there will be a canopy over all the glory, and there will be a shelter for shade from heat by day and a refuge and shelter from storm and rain. So what does that remind us of? It reminds, you know, of Exodus, when you remember he had the cloud.
Right.
By day, and then at night it was the fire. So he's promising, you know, the people here that he will protect us, that he will be present, and that he will keep us safe, and that he would protect us and keep us clean, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, do you want to be in that chaos, you know, when all those things go bad? Because it's coming. If you're not already in it, it's coming. Or do you want to be the ones that he says will be fine, that you will be protected, that he says those that are righteous will be protected, you will be well, you will be blessed, you know? Right. And again, he promises here, because I will be a cloud of smoke by day and a glowing flame of fire by night. I will be there with you and I will protect you. So,
yeah,
I mean, to me, it's a pretty easy decision, but.
No, yeah. And, you know, and I should have wrote down that I was reading today. And in the gospel, and I think it was John, Jesus says, you know, we don't ever have to worry, because once God gives us to Jesus Christ, he never lets us go. So once we are saved and we are, you know, redeemed and sanctified and everything, we never have to worry. Because sometimes I still worry a little bit, like, am I really saved? But then I kick it aside, because I am, and he'll never let us go. Like, once he holds on to us, we are his for all time. You know, that's a comforting thought, you know?
It is. It's a very comforting thought. And what do you have to lose? You know, I mean, if you're, and the thing that gets me is, like, you know, with the earthquakes that are happening right now, we saw how, and, you know, now that the death count is like over 20,000, you know, where the earthquake that happened in Turkey. And then you see the war in Ukraine. You know, we've been through the pandemic where there were shortages of everything and all that. These are all signs. These are all signs that, you know, from God of it's in the Bible, but we're seeing it and we're getting a glimpse of it. And it's, do you rather,
it's the labor pains
is, yeah. Do you want to continue in that and not knowing that when those things do happen to you, to us,
and you know
where do you want to be?
And I think what's scary is some people, you hear them talk about, oh, God, he can come any day. But why aren't you changing your way? Why aren't you
right?
Going to Jesus? Why
do you want to be?
They think they're already saved.
They're
confused, you know?
That's true. That,
yeah.
You know, at baptism, they're good.
Well, yeah, like the Israelis, they thought they were already saved. They thought because they were, you know, Israelis and there were Jews that they were already, they thought they were saved.
Because they were chosen.
That's why they're not scared.
Because they were chosen, they thought they were already saved. But I think that's where we need to ask ourselves, you know, what's the most important thing to you? Who are you being loyal to? Who are you, who are your lips worshiping? You know, is it God? You know, and if you don't know, ask God. You know, if you think you're already doing it, then ask him, am I God? Am I in the, in where I'm supposed to be? Because I want to be covered under your protection. You know, am I where I need to be included in that cover.
And I think the other day you said something when we were talking and you said, you know, maybe some of us need to ask ourselves, who is Jesus Christ to us? So that way we can kind of see in our heart is, do we see him as our savior or just, I don't know, like an image, you know?
Right. Like, is he just like a, that statue that,
is he just the story that you hear every day, or is he, cause to me, he's my savior. He's my king. He's my everything.
Is he your king?
Where I'm at right now without him, you know, I think we talked about that, right? We'd be in the loony.
Yeah, we did. I don't know. So, ask yourself, you know, and are you leading your spouse to God? Are you leading your children to God? You know, I think that's a good question to ask too. Like, because you might say, well, I believe in God, but are you leading your children towards God? You know, do you talk about God and Jesus? Are you teaching them, you know, the righteous way so that they can be included in his protection when these, when this day comes, because it says the day of the Lord, and we don't know when that's going to be, you know? So just like in these times, they didn't know when it was going to be, but he gives us a description of what those times will be like. And we're seeing those things now, you know? So if not now, when, you know, when will we change?
We like to tell our kids, you know, me and my husband, we're in Noah's Ark. We're good. We're on the boat.
Right.
I don't know where you're at, but we're on the boat. So you can either join us or
we'll wave from the boat.
Yeah,
because it's scary. It's, I mean, I think as you see more and more, and you know, and at this time, they might not have seen, you know, because Isaiah was warning them because the invasion of Babylon was coming, you know, and so he was giving them that warning that that invasion was coming. And they might not have seen what that looked like to where, like, where we can see on TV what some of that devastation looks like. You know, we have seen what war looks like. You know, if you haven't been in it, you've seen it on TV. And we know what the, you know, with, again, with the pandemic and all the other things, you know, and here in Texas where we see the flooding and the hurricanes, I mean, you can lose everything overnight, you know? We get to see that. So you can't say that you didn't have a sign, you didn't see any of it, because nothing is promised to us. You know, God gives and God takes away. And the way God speaks here, the vision that he's giving, you know, the description of where we are spiritually, again, we're seeing that now too, in the way these women are, the way our, you know, a lot of our children are, the way, you know, what's happening in our government and our leadership and how divided we are as a country, as a nation. So we're seeing those things now.
And it's a sad, sad thing. You know, we want our, the world to be a beautiful place for our grandkids or our great grandkids, depending when Jesus comes, you know, but I mean, can you imagine the, like us, we're sad, or, you know, we talked about that, like how our hearts break. Can you imagine how he feels? How heartbroken he is to see, you know, we're, people forget we're his creations, you know. Yes, he made us to have free will, but at the same time, we're made for him, you know.
Well, and everything that we have today is from him. Know, everything that we have is from him. But that's it. That's 2 through 4.
I wanted to do, I was looking for a scripture today, and I keep going back to Hannah's prayer, and she's in the first book of Samuel, and she's Samuel's mom, and I think it's beautiful, her words. And so I'm going to read some of her verses, and it's in chapter 2. My heart rejoices in the Lord. My mouth, I'm sorry, My heart rejoices in the Lord because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. And there is no rock like our God. Do not boast so proudly or let arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge and actions are weighed by him. The Lord brings death and gives life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week.